Well, guys, the Astros' eight-game winning streak comes to a close. You're not going to win them all, especially if you give up five runs from your starting pitcher for, what, three games in a row? After such a marvelous stretch for your starters, Christian Javier was as hot as he can be, and then the Royals come to town. So do we owe Jake Odorizzi an apology for maybe he wasn't that bad and maybe the Royals are just waking up right now? I don't know, but we'll talk about this and more on this edition of the Locked On Astros podcast that starts now.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Astros, your daily Astros podcast. Here are your hosts, Eric the Man Heisman and Brett H-Town Wheelhouse Chansey.
We are Locked On Houston Astros, and we hope that you join us for a daily Locked On Astros podcast. My name is Eric Heisman. You can find me on Twitter at Eric Talk Stros. Find the show at Locked On Astros, your team every day. And I have a special guest today. I know him back from the Jason Braddock experience. We tried to create a radio station together, and so he's an old friend of mine, Tom Chavarria. Where can they find you on Twitter, and tell us about your podcast?
Thanks, Eric. I appreciate you having me on. Love what you and Brett are doing. My name's Thomas, at Third Coast Tom on Twitter. I'm a co-host on the Astros Baseball Podcast. Me and Rob Fontenot, we do something a little similar to this, but we like to, you know, have a little time where we talk about where we feel, what's fair, what's foul, with whether it be baseball, life, whatever. You can find that on climbingtowelshill.com. You can also find the page on Twitter at Astros_pod. And I also do a podcast with Stadium Steph, Sunday Stros, where we kind of do a general overview of, you know, the week. Sometimes we dabble with some of the Sugarland, Space Cowboys, some of the minor league stuff. We try to do that every Sunday. And that's myself and at Stadium Steph on Twitter.
All righty, guys. Well, thank you for making Locked On Astros podcast your first listen every day. Whether it's on YouTube, go ahead and make sure you subscribe to us on and give us big thumbs up. And make sure you tune in to us on Apple, Odyssey, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast. Check out the Locked On Astros podcast. So I know a lot of people are looking at this, and apparently Astros Twitter is in a total meltdown right now. But they won eight games in a row. It's okay, guys. Take a breath. Just relax. It's going to be okay. You're not going to win them all, even against the bad teams. The Kansas City Royals are now 30-50 on the season. They have, wait for it, they have Major League Baseball players on their team. And they obviously hit Christian Javier pretty well. I mean, Javier limited the Mets and the Yankees, but apparently the single-hitting Royals, they gave him a little trouble. And Javier's been doing a really good job of limiting the home run ball this year, but apparently not in this game. So there's just a lot of issues. For some reason, I don't think it's a game plan. I don't know what it is, but the Royals are a young team, and they just seem to be a little scrappy team, kind of reminding me of the 2015 Royals, the ones that just know how to single you to death. And it's a frustrating series so far, and it just goes to show you that you can't just look past a team just because they're in last place in the AL Central. You can't look past them. And so what are your thoughts so far in this series that's been a little closer than a lot of people want to expect it, I guess?
So I'm a glass half full type guy. I totally believe that, you know, if you'd have told me they have a chance to win 3 out of 4 tomorrow with Justin going, I mean, the bats for the most part are scoring runs. We're talking about games in which they've scored 4 more runs in every game. I would have taken that. You know, you look across Major League Baseball, teams struggle with bad teams all the time. The Yankees lost to the Pittsburgh Pirates. That's one of those things, like, if you'd have told me that, I would have been like, no way. So I understand we were spoiled a little bit, I feel like, with all the great pitching performances we got through the New York series. And now, you know, guys are regressing a little bit, maybe taking their foot off the pedal a little bit. But I still have total faith that this team is going to be just fine.
And I think I misspoke. I think, I mean, Javier may have pitched against the Mets and Yankees, but I think his last start was against the Angels too. But either way, he's been pitching really good. And the key to Javier's success is he's been throwing strikes. But if you look at today's game, a lot of his pitches were first pitch balls, and he was pitching from behind a little bit. And he threw a couple of meatballs, so to speak, and they went for home runs. And unfortunately, that's kind of led to his success. And in the first inning, Javier threw 13 balls, 16 strikes. He threw first pitch ball to four of the six hitters he saw. Two of them went into the Crawford boxes. So they weren't mashed, because obviously Crawford boxes aren't way out there. But Hunter Dozier was Javier's daddy today, so to speak. He had a two-run homer, then a RBI double off the left field wall. But he was basically the offense off of Javier today. And then you had a couple other guys. But in the last 69 and two-thirds innings, he only gave up five home runs. And then in the five innings he pitched today, he gave up the three home runs. So that just shows that he was not right today. Something wasn't right with Christian Javier today. And the problem was he wasn't throwing strikes consistently. But to his credit, he did stay in. He did pitch five innings. He did save the bullpen a little bit. So, but I'm not really too worried about Christian Javier. He's shown that he is an everyday starter. I mean, not every day, but every fifth day starter. So are you concerned about the last three starters giving up five runs, because the offense can't keep on giving up five runs a game and keeping playing catch up, I guess?
So, I mean, I'm definitely concerned about, you know, maybe Odo coming back from injury. I think he's going to need two or three starts, something like that. The last time he was injured, he had issues, you know, in the first couple of starts, and, you know, Astros Twitter and Astros social media kind of panicked. I think he'll be fine. He just needs some time. Tonight, Javier got beat up a little bit. I mean, he still had seven strikeouts. So, I mean, right, you have to look at things like that. Like, he was still getting outs. It's just, I mean, it's a long season. You know, those guys may be looking at the finish line a little bit. You know, All-Star break's coming. Everybody's trying to figure out, you know, what they're going to do with their family, stuff like that. It's the Royals, too, like you said. They're 30 and 50. I mean, a lot of those things factor in. I mean, obviously, you want to win every game. But this team to go, you know, 8-2 over the last 10 games, can't ask for much more.
Yeah, and looking at what the bullpen did, they did give up the two runs. I know that Hector Neris didn't have the best day, but Brian Abreu has walked five batters in the last two games, and he struggled with command. But to his credit, he did get the job done today. He didn't give up any runs. And then Stanek loaded the bases in his inning, and then he stranded the bases loaded in his inning. And it seems like the bullpen is getting it done overall. Neris had another bad day, but Javier, I'm not worried about him, but like I said, you can't, I think Verlander needs to come out and just stop the bleeding, because the offense needs a little bit of breathing room. You can't look up in the first couple of innings and be like, oh, we're already down five runs again. Oh, cool. Yeah. So, I mean, you can't keep on doing that. And it's like if you keep on doing that, you're going to have to eventually get them maybe a Blue Nile necklace or a ring or something like that. So let's talk about Blue Nile. Blue Nile is not just for if you want to propose to your girlfriend or something like that, but it's also for an everyday occasion, like just fine jewelry. So if you're looking for the engagement ring, Blue Nile has simple online tools that help you choose the diamond shape, size, and clarity, as well as setting style. And Blue Nile's bench jewelers will then handcraft her perfect engagement ring. Each ring is one of a kind, made for her, and whatever your style is as well. So looking for fine jewelry, but have trouble choosing? Blue Nile has the jewelry experts on hand 24/7, available via phone or chat to help you find a memorable gift at every budget. Make the moment sparkle with jewelry from BlueNile.com. and Locked On Sports listeners get $50 off purchases of $500 or more. This podcast exclusive includes engagement. Use the code Locked On. That code is Locked On, plus every order is insured, ships for free, and arrives in a discreet package that won't give away what's inside. Shop stress-free and find your forever peace. Go to BlueNile.com today and get what you need when you need it for that special person in your life. So if you look at what Stanek has done in his past 22 and two-thirds innings, at 25 consecutive appearances, he has not allowed a run. That's impressive. And his ERA on the season is 0.63 in 28 and two-thirds innings this season. He should be All-Star. If he's not an All-Star, that means the All-Star selection or whoever does the process doesn't know what they're doing. So I think that this was also season high outing for him. He threw 27 pitches. The last one is 99.1 mile per hour fastball. And I love it when Stanek gets all pumped up afterwards because he's like, yeah. And so that was just awesome because that was a big moment. At that time, the Astros were only trailing 5-4. And so the Astros still had a chance, especially with all the late inning magic we had. But unfortunately, Hector Neris in next inning gave up the two runs. But what are you seeing? What's different with this offense over the past, two, 3 weeks?
I think the short answer, the real simple answer is Alex Bregman. He's been in the middle of this lineup. He's starting to see the ball better. He's letting the ball get deeper, hitting the ball the other way. You know, he's starting to identify the inside, I think, part of the plate, you know, based on the way he turned on that one pitch. And, you know, balls, I think he's getting a little lucky too. Stuff that was on the corners that used to be strikes, now he's getting a couple balls. I mean, he's always been walking a lot. But I think for him to start moving the line a little bit more, I think he's starting to be the run producer that we need him to be instead of just like a table setter, so to speak. I like that Jeremy Peña is at the top of the lineup now. Him being in the two hole just makes them more explosive at the top. I think today I like Mauricio Dubon. I don't know if he was the guy in leadoff. I felt like Jake Myers might have been better. But overall, I mean, you know, when you have that 2-3-4-5, which is really, really tough, there's no outs in it. There's nothing easy. All great, I guess, guys that identify the strike zone well, that's where the offense is going to be.
Yeah, that would be my critique of the game. I know that everybody wants to point to, well, you sat two players. You sat Jose Altuve, Yuli Gurriel, in a very important game. It's July 6th. It's not a very important game. But in a very important game, you sat two of your best players. And I don't know if you saw this, but before the game, they closed the Astros clubhouse to media. And they quoted health and safety protocol. And everybody freaked out and saying, uh-oh, does that mean that players are getting the COVID? But apparently Dusty Baker said that this is just a safety precaution for the media and that they're just trying to be safe right now. And so I don't think that there's anybody that has it. And I love Chandler Rome throwing shade at people. I think it was Frankie Montas. There is a quote from a writer, and they gave a detailed explanation about the procedure that he's going to have. And Chandler Rome was like, oh, look, a very descriptive explanation about a player that the fans care about a lot. That must be nice. So the Astros just don't do that this year or past couple of years. They're very secretive about things. But in this situation, I think that Dusty Baker called it a manager's decision to sit Gurriel and Altuve today. Gurriel's legs are sore because he's been running a lot. Okay. And Altuve just needed a day off and sounded routine. So before y'all start thinking anything's wrong with them, there's nothing wrong with them. This was just a routine day off. It just so happened that they put them both off. So now you brought up a good point. Why put Mauricio Dubon in the leadoff spot? Jake Myers would have been a good spot there. I want to say that Chaz McCormick's hit leadoff this year at some point. I know that he's not your best hitter, but Dubon has struggled this year. So why put him there? He stranded four runners on base, but Jake Meyers was kind of the guy that gave the Astros life in today's game. He had two RBIs, one of them on a ground out to shortstop, but Jake Meyers is looking good. Even with his outs, he's making some good contact, and he's just, he had that double, the RBI double. Then you have Bregman with the walks, and Alvarez, I think he got a double today too. And so the offense looks like it's going to be good. I'm not too worried about it once everybody's in the lineup and healthy. But what do you think about Meyers? Is he the answer? And do the Astros need to make a trade for a center fielder?
So I really like what Meyers is doing. I think he's been really good defensively. He was really good before he got hurt. His bat, he's showing to be very serviceable. If I have a wish list of what they go do at the trade deadline, for me, it's the bullpen. And I think this series and the last couple of series has kind of really highlighted it. I'm really weird about how I watch the game. I'm always bouncing around, kind of fidgeting. So in between innings, I'll go to like the MLB Network and kind of see what they're talking about. They talked about the Astros today, and they really talked about if they got that one bullpen arm that was like a big swing and miss guy, and I totally agreed. They brought up a name, AJ Puck. I don't know that, you know, that's the guy that I had on my mind, but, you know, somebody exactly like that, somebody that you bring in between Stanek and Presley that can just absolutely no nonsense, right, hard throwing, strikeouts, you know, none of this, I've got to beat you with deception. And I couldn't agree more. So I really hope that if we have to pick one spot to upgrade, that's where we do it.
I know, for those of y'all that don't know, I had Jeff Blum on a podcast earlier today, and it's out. It's on YouTube, and it's also out on audio as well. And I did ask him, what move do you see the Astros making? And he said, well, if they make any type of move, he would see them making a big move, like a Verlander type move, like something like that. It doesn't have to necessarily be in the starting rotation, but he said somebody in the bullpen. So I suggested maybe a Rafael Iglesias, somebody like that. And but I think he's making a lot of money too. But I also brought up the name Luis Castillo. So that could be somebody that the Astros could go out and trade for. But center field is a situation that the Astros have been monitoring all year. But Jake Meyers looks like he plays a great defense. He can get the big hits. So I think that this I think center field, if that's one of your – I mean, he's batting 300 right now. I know it's still early, and he's getting – it seems like he's getting RBI in every game. How many RBIs does he have now? He's up to – 10 in his early season. So if that's what you're getting from Jake Meyers, RBI almost every game, that's great from your number seven hitter. So I think that they probably should have put him in the leadoff spot. Devon, I have nothing against him, but he really has not done much since coming to the Astros. And granted, he has not been given a lot of playing time, but Pena, like you said, he deserves to be where he is in the lineup. And I like Alvarez, Bregman, Tucker in the lineup. That is perfect. And we've seen Yuli be a little bit more successful recently too. And I think they said that they discovered something wrong with his batting stance. And so that could be attributing to his success. So if every one of those guys starts swinging, just imagine how good this lineup can be and get ready for the playoffs. So just looking at what do you think the biggest need? I guess you would say the bullpen would be the biggest need, right?
Absolutely. I mean, if they can go get another knockdown, you know, ace that you can put, you know, maybe as a third, fourth guy, I would love that. But I feel like with Lance getting closer to coming back, you're really solid 1-2-3 with Justin, Framber, and then Lance. So if you get into a postseason series, those are your three guys that you're going to see, you know, for seven games probably. So the next big need, I think, would be the bullpen.
All right. Do you trust Brian Abreu at this point with his control issues?
Absolutely not. I was at the game last night, and he came in, and I was just not happy. It was one of those things. I felt uneasy. Tonight I felt uneasy. He pitched well tonight, but I just don't trust his control.
Yeah, at times he can throw really good, but it's just like when you're facing the Yankees, when you're facing the Dodgers eventually, when you're facing who else is – I think the Twins. Yeah, the Twins, you're going to have your best relievers out there, and I just don't know if Abreu – he has the stuff, but he just doesn't have the mentality at times. He could be locked down, but just it doesn't – it's not always there. So so tomorrow we have Justin Verlander, and he's going to make one more start before the All-Star break, but they don't know if it's going to be versus the Angels or the A's. And a lot of that has been made. Well, Martin Maldonado has been catching a lot, and it was a night game. And is he going to catch the day game tomorrow? Dusty Baker said after today's game that he will be catching tomorrow's game. So we won't see Corey Lee starting tomorrow, unfortunately. So I think that would have probably been pretty cool seeing him kind of start with Justin Verlander. So that's pretty cool. So Parker Mazinski is on a 15-day IL. He started his rehab assignment with the Sugarland Space Cowboys. I did say it right. So I always say Skeeters for some reason. It's hard for me to get that out of my head. So, we need to talk All-Star. And guys, we need to get you out to bet because not bet, but vote, because Alvarez is trailing as we're speaking right now and to Shohei Ohtani. And you know what? I'm betting that Alvarez is the better player than Shohei Ohtani. And speaking of betting, let's talk about betonline.net. It's your number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest sports development, league reviews, and news, including this year's NHL playoffs and Major League Baseball predictions, including who's going to be the MVP. Is it going to be Aaron Judge or Alvarez? And who's going to win the Rookie of the Year, Julio Rodriguez or Jeremy Pena? BetOnline is your continued source for all sports wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. And BetOnline.net remains the best spot for all of your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season. BetOnline.net is the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite sports and events, including MMA, boxing, and golf. Head to the website today and use the mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline, where the game starts. All righty. So let's go ahead and talk about Alvarez. I had a conversation with Jeff Blum on the other podcast, and he was saying that while a lot of people want Alvarez to participate, he says that it may not be a good idea for him to participate because the Astros are one of the teams that have the short All-Star break because they have the doubleheader versus the Yankees. And so do you really want him to be using all that energy to participate in the Home Run Derby? Because you know, if he goes, he's going to win. And so do you really want him doing all the energy? So that's something that Alvarez is thinking about. And I know we want to vote him out. We want to vote him. We want him to be an All-Star game. Altuve is currently leading at second base, and I'm surprised about that. I figured that a lot of people are still hating the Astros, and most the face of the Astros, it's going to be Alvarez. By the end of the season, I think the face of the Astros will be Alvarez, but for right now, it's still Jose Altuve for the cheating scandal and everything. But people are voting for Altuve because a lot of people don't know who this Espinal guy is with the Blue Jays, but people are voting for Altuve, but everybody loves Shohei Ohtani. And but they need to understand that Shohei Ohtani is going to be there as a pitcher. You don't need him to be there as a hitter. Okay. Let somebody else be there as a hitter. And that somebody else is the best hitter in baseball right now. The guy with the highest OPS plus, the one that's got the highest slugging percentage. I know Aaron Judge hit his 30th home run today, yada, yada, whatever. But Judge is good, but Alvarez is just having a historic season. So what are your thoughts about the All-Star Home Run Derby?
So for me, I feel like if I want him to win MVP, I need him to be at the All-Star game, at the Home Run Derby, showcasing. Because I feel like Judge, the New York market pumps him up. Shohei Ohtani, He's got all of Asia behind him, basically pumping him up. I feel like Yordan gets kind of lost in the shuffle a little bit because the baseball purists know a lot about him, but you know, the casual fan probably is like, who's this Yordan guy? So I feel like he should do it. I think of all the hitters, he's the one that his swing is just so smooth and so consistent. You never see him really swinging out of his shoe tops to try to hit home runs, right? He's got light tower power just casually. So I don't feel like a home run derby would hurt his swing where other guys, where they're really like grunting, like Bregman when he did that one year, kind of threw him off because he was like literally expending everything. I feel like Yordan could fall out of bed and hit 40 homers, you know, in BP and not break a sweat. Like, he's just that big, that strong. So for me, for him to get MVP consideration, I feel like every chance you can showcase him, that's what has to happen.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I've watched him at batting practice, and it just looks like he's just swinging a bat, and it's just so natural for him. And that's why he's just so good at it. And so I think that he'll probably make the All-Star team. I hope he's the starter. And Jeff Blum had, you have to go listen to podcasts. I don't want to give away everything, but he said the best case scenario, and it's awesome. His best case scenario. So if you haven't listened to it, go listen to the podcast, and it was just awesome. And it made me be like, you know what, if that happens, that'll be awesome. And I forgot that Dusty Baker and his coaches are going to be the ones that are going to be over there and Dodger Stadium. So wouldn't it be awesome if Altuve is the leadoff guy and hits a leadoff home run at Dodger Stadium? We'll hear all the boos and everything. Cheater, cheater, but whatever. So, I think that I'm not too worried about this game. I'm not too worried about one loss here or there. The Astros are going to still win 100, and I think they're on pace for maybe 105 wins, 104 wins. It depends on how many, but they have the easiest schedule, second easiest schedule, maybe first easiest, depending on what you're looking at. But I'm not too worried about this, but let's take a look at tomorrow's matchup. I know it's going to be Justin Verlander. It's going to be early game at 1:10, but it's going to be Chris Bubik. He's 1-5 with a 7.06 ERA with 37 strikeouts. The Astros have faced him earlier this year. He was a little bit lucky in that game. He didn't give up a lot more runs than he could have, but Alvarez and one at bat got a hit. I think that he got a couple walks as well, if I remember correctly. And Bregman had one hit, and Kyle Tucker had a couple hits. But otherwise, Justin Verlander, not too many people. Andrew Benintendi in 12 at bats is batting 0.083, and Whit Merrifield is batting 238 and 21 at bats. So not a lot of people have faced Verlander, and Verlander is on extended rest, so he's going to be extra ready to go. But we'll see what happens in this situation. What are your predictions for tomorrow's game?
I'm really hoping for, you know, the offense to go back to the way it was two nights ago, where they, you know, scored 9 runs. I really hope to see Tuve and Yuli back in the lineup, because I think that just makes them that much more harder to deal with. You know, those guys are, it takes such good at bats. So, you know, hopefully like maybe a 4-1 game, Stros. Justin goes 7, maybe 8 Ks, something like that. Sounds good to me.
Yeah. So I think the Astros just need to win. I'm not going to even predict. They're just going to win this game. Verlander just needs to go out there and pitch 6-7 innings. They need to eat up the innings because the bullpen is spent right now. I think Abreu's probably out. Stanek's probably out for tomorrow. Maton's probably be only one ready. And so there's just going to be – Verlander's just going to have to pitch 6 or 7 innings tomorrow, and he's on extra rest. And so while we're on Verlander, are you okay with them kind of maybe skipping some start – not skipping starts, but just kind of giving him extra days to kind of give him maybe just save some innings for October?
I'm okay with it. I wonder if Justin's okay with it. I know earlier he was very vocal about wanting to get back to normal rest and pitching every fifth day. So now with the added rotation pieces, is that going to be, you know, a problem? Is the rest going to, you know, alter what he does? Is he going to have to throw, you know, like an extra bullpen somewhere? You know, all of those things are stuff that I don't have a crystal ball to know, you know, if that's going to hurt him or help him. Personally, more rest I think is better. You talked about the bullpen. I hope that Seth Martinez is somebody they go to tomorrow if they need a guy. Montero is another guy. Those are two guys that I trust. I hope that they get some run if they need guys.
All right, so somebody that could come up and help the Astros, and I know I was on a Louisiana radio station this morning, and every time I'm on that station, he always brings up Hunter Brown. Hunter Brown is doing great. He had another great inning outing today, 5 innings, 4 hits, 2 runs, one of them earned, 2 walks, 5 strikeouts. His ERA on the season is 2.38. That means he has 97 strikeouts on the season, and he has nothing left to prove in AAA. My concern is whatever you trade for, are you going to have to give up Hunter Brown?
I think he's the only untouchable in the whole program. Like, this guy is Verlander 2.0. He's came out and said it. He models his game after Justin. If, you know, you're not looking at the name on the back of the jersey, he looks like Justin. And I mean, the numbers back it up. So that guy should be. And there's a lot of great prospects that we have. Corey Lee, there's a kid that's going to be in the Futures game that's a catching prospect. I can't think of his name. It's Valdez, maybe? Anyway, they've got prospects everywhere. Hunter Brown's the one you can't touch.
All right, so a lot of people are saying that they do trust Brian Abreu in the playoffs. Guy Webster is one of them, and a couple other people are saying that they do trust him. He may have some wildness concerns, but against the Yankees he's not worried about that. So we'll see. I think that his, like I said earlier, his stuff does play well. It's just what's going on between his head. He's just got to get the ability to throw strikes and not walk batters too much. And I love the fact that Martin Maldonado went out there. I don't know if it was, if he yelled at him or just said, get your act together or whatever, son, or whatever. So we'll see what happens in this. So any other stuff we need to cover before we move on?
Just, you know, you spoke about the All-Star game and our guys coaching it up. I would love nothing more than the lineup that they, the card that Dusty puts out there is like Tuve, then Springer, then, you know, just line up all the Strohs you can right at the top, right? So the Dodger faithful that's out there has to just see them one more time. That'd be great for me.
All right. You just ruined it for Jeff Blum. That's what he said.
Great minds.
jerk. So, yeah, this game, I know that the Astros lost this game, but they still have what? They still have a 13-game lead in the AL West. I don't see any team catching up to them. Which team would you be the most concerned about, honestly?
In the West? I mean, obviously the numbers speak to Seattle, but I mean, they don't scare me. I mean, their rotation's not great. The Angels are on paper the ones you should be worried about, but everybody takes their turns kind of, you know, taking their licks at them. So I don't see the West being an issue. The real question is can they catch the Yankees? I mean, that's for me, that's the question.
All right. So we have Keith Conklin. He's a our resident Yankee fan who always likes to watch our podcast. And he says that this happens for every team every year. You guys got a great team and hopefully we meet in the ALCS. So I'm assuming he means that you lose a game. So I don't know about this. And I think I heard a stat earlier that since the Astros went 11-11 to start the season, they only lost 16 games. Now they've lost 17 games since that. And so just think about that, that how good this team has been to get to where they are. So no, I'm not concerned about this game. But what I am concerned about is the trend of the starting pitchers giving up so many runs where the offense can't catch up. That is a little bit concerning. And Christian Javier, all of a sudden he lost. I mean, it's just one start. I'm not going to freak out about it, but should we kind of give Jake Odorizzi a pass for his start? We'll see what he does in his next start, but it's just, who knew the Royals would be so good? And they did this without their young kid today, Bobby Witt Jr. So who knows what's going to happen. So I think that's all we got for this edition of Locked On Astros podcast. You want to go and tell us one more time where they can find you on Twitter and about your podcast?
Absolutely. I am at Third Coast Tom on Twitter. The podcast where you can definitely find me is at baseball_pod on Twitter. It's Astros Baseball on all forms. You can also find it on climbingtowshill.com. Myself and Rob Fontenot, he's at Rob Fontenot on Twitter. We're covering the Astros too. Just trying to, you know, give the best outlook for this team that's just amazing right now.
Alrighty, so thank you for making Locked On Astros podcast your first listen every day. Make sure you go and subscribe to us on YouTube and give us thumbs up, and make sure you make a listen on Apple, Odyssey, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast. Make us your first listen, and you can go and listen to the other guys if you want to as well. So hopefully the Astros behind Justin Verlander are able to get the job done, and we will check you out, and we'll talk to you tomorrow, and go Astros.